It is 5:06 on the Central Coast. It is Thursday, July 9th, 2020. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. Good to be with you. Hope you'll stay with us. Still to come on this broadcast, during the 6 o'clock hour, let's have a conversation about the so-called cashless society. Particularly now with the COVID concerns, people are saying, oh, you shouldn't be using cash so much because it can get tainted, infected. You should be using plastic. And then there are people who are advocating, well, this is the way it should always be. We should stop using cash and just use plastic and electronic transfers and things like that. Anyway, we'll have that conversation. This hour, certainly there has been a lot of conversation across the country about police and the use of force. Joe Tirica in the Tribune, I remind you that Joe is the editor, and from time to time he sits down and he shares his opinions. And recently he shared this opinion, put the gun away and talk. What police reform could look like in SLO County, as in our county. Let me just read the opening part. This is what Joe says. Police must stop shooting. They must stop putting people in chokeholds. They must stop yelling and waving their guns at innocent citizens, especially people of color. And they must stop applying dangerous rules of engagement that aren't even sanctioned by the military in a war zone. The time has come for a wholesale reevaluation of law enforcement standard operating procedures to refocus their mission around their entire reason for existence as peace officers, which is to protect and serve their communities. Basically, they must stop assuming the world is guilty until proven innocent. Tough words indeed. And always have a lot of respect for Joe Tirica. This is not a personal attack on him. But there are many of you and many other Americans that agree with Joe. And so I wanted to pursue this conversation. Always good to have Matt Hoy on this broadcast. Never at a loss for an opinion. His website is restrictedarms.com. He joins us now. Matt, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave. And if anyone has extra cash lying around they want to get rid of, I will take it.
Well, mail it to you. You can process it for us. And I'll make it clear, you and I both find things in Joe's column to agree with. He's got some good points here. So we're not trying to pick on him, but I think his column is typical of the argument that's being made.
Yeah, no, he says some good things, and I am pro police reform. I think there are things that police do that need to be changed. Where I get into it with him is when it comes to kind of the use of force continuum, and there's a couple things in here that he suggests change that would leave a lot of police officers dead and would make it so that that policing would be kind of exclusively the province of large, young, healthy, strong men.
Let's start with the premise. The premise of Joe's piece seems to be that far too often police react by shooting instead of talking.
That's certainly something to consider. I'm not sure if that's always the case. You know, I was a big fan of watching Live PD when it was on television on the A&E network Friday and Saturday nights. I had that set to record on my DVR. My wife and I would watch it, and that kind of reinforced my own belief that I don't have the temperament to be a police officer, because some of the stuff they put up with, I couldn't put up with. And I think A&E did us a real disservice by taking that off the air, because the police officers that you saw on Live PD, I think were some of the best we have in this country as far as how they dealt with people and how they did their jobs. Having said that, where I got into an issue with Tirica's column was where he was kind of specifying concrete policies that were very dangerous. And the one I really focused on was, he says down lower in the column, and I want to be fair to him, under the heading A New Approach to Policing, he says, how does that kind of mindset look as a practical application in the field? First, we must reduce the reliance on guns as a common reaction. I don't necessarily disagree with that. Here's where Tarika gets into big trouble, not knowing what he's talking about. He says, an officer should never fire a gun unless fired upon, and then in all caps, ever. And that's foolish. It's naive. I responded to on that piece in the Facebook comments with this hypothetical. I said, imagine a female officer is called out to a situation where a man is behaving oddly, probably on drugs, on the street. She is 5 feet 5 inches tall and weighs 145 pounds. She is the first to arrive. The man is unarmed. In fact, for purposes of this hypothetical, he's completely naked. So he's not armed. The second she steps out of her vehicle, the man becomes enraged and charges at her. The man is 6 foot 5 inches tall, weighs 350 pounds, and is obviously a bodybuilder. Now, according to the Tarika protocol, she cannot fire her weapon because she has not been fired upon. The best case scenario that comes from this is that police officer is unconscious. Again, best case, she's unconscious. Worst case, she's dead. The psycho now has her firearm, has access to her patrol car with a shotgun mounted to the dashboard, and in the trunk is body armor and a fully automatic AR-15, not the semi-automatic civilians have. That's the result of an officer should never fire unless fired upon. Never going to happen, and frankly, I think it hurts a lot of the rest of his piece because, you know, I focused on that. A lot of other people focused on that. You know, you can't, there are things you can do to change, you know, how officers react and one thing and another. Mm-hmm. But having a rule like that would make it so that, you know, the officer that shows up has to be, you know, 6 foot five, 350 pounds and a bodybuilder.
Yeah. Well, it's also a good rule to try to avoid saying never, ever, because right. There are circumstances that prove to be the exception to the rule.
There are. And that's one of the that's a danger that police officers, you know, face every day. You know, they've got general rules. What happens when, you know, that changes, when the situation changes and now it doesn't fit neatly into one of these predetermined categories or processes. Another thing that he mentioned on there was he says that police officers should spend more time focusing on de-escalation techniques than firearms training. All this time they spend at the range, and you know, I've talked to enough police officers and I've talked to enough firearms trainers. I think this is a common misconception that police officers are always at the range honing their skills with firearms. The vast majority of police officers show up at the range once every 3 months, once every 6 months. I don't think it's once every year anymore. To go through qualification. And it does not take much skill to pass the qualification on a firearm. Everybody here in this county who goes through, who has a concealed carry permit, has to go through the same qualification. It is pretty darn easy to pass. So, you know, I concur with him that we should have police officers, you know, go through de-escalation techniques and try and, you know, do those sorts of things. But the idea that, well, they need to do that more than, you know, training on firearms, that's not a very high bar to cross.
Really. Why does one have to be at the expense of the other? Why can't they be trained on both? How to de-escalate and how to shoot?
Well, they certainly can. And you know, again, you know, SWAT officers are a different animal, I think. I have full faith that if somebody's on the SWAT, you know, team, that they do a heck of a lot more firearms training and whatnot. But, you know, some of it is, you know, you've got budgets, you've got time, you know, and frankly, I've been looking online a lot, and with this whole, you know, with the coronavirus pandemic, and the violence in a lot of American cities over the killing of George Floyd, there are lots of, we've got shortages of ammunition and shortages of guns.
We got
plenty, and that includes for law enforcement.
We got plenty to talk about with Matt Hoy from RestrictedArms.com back on Hometown Radio. We're pursuing this question raised by Joe Tirica in a recent Tribune column, but also being raised across the country. This is an ongoing dialogue. Should our police be shooting less and talking more? There are many of you who think that. We'll pick up the conversation. Your phone call still to come. I'm Dave Congleton. You're listening to AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk. KVEC. Matt Hoy is with us. His website is restrictedarms.com. We're talking about police and whether or not they need to be talking more and shooting less. And this conversation is inspired by a recent column by Joe Tirica, editor of the Tribune. And Matt, as we come back with you, I did some checking during the break. Let me hit you with some stats. The trend of fatal police shootings in the United States seems to only be increasing, with a total of 506 civilians having been shot, 105 of whom were black, as of June 30th of this year. In 2018, there were 996 fatal police shootings, and in 2019, this figure increased to 1,004. Additionally, the rate of fatal police shootings among black Americans was much higher than for any other ethnicity, standing at 31 fatal shootings per million a population, again, as of June 2020. So, anyway, there are some numbers here, and more people seem to be shot by police each year. Any reaction to that?
Yeah, it's tough to kind of suss out of those numbers how much, you know, whether there is racism, you know, how much of this is like some involves racism. How much of this involves the fact that, you know, I think blacks are like 13% of the population, but they commit a disproportionate number of crimes, and that's, you know, there are deeper issues with that, you know having, you know, family structure, lack of fathers in the home, that sort of thing. It's a complicated issue. Right. I got into some good conversations, I think, with some of my friends on Facebook, you know, during this past month and a half or so, because, you know, I saw a lot of people posting these kind of simplistic memes, and this is a complicated issue.
Right. But the number of deaths, more people are being shot by police. That's the only point I was trying to make.
And the population of the country continues to increase. Is one increasing at a higher rate than the other? You know, there are so many variables. It's really tough to figure out, you know, what's cause, what's effect, what's correlation, what's causation. You know, there are things I think we need to do as far as police reform goes. I'm big on, I think we need to reform qualified immunity.
Explain.
I don't think it needs.
Explain.
Well,
that.
Qualified immunity basically says that if there isn't a super specific, on point legal ruling in the past about, you know, what is illegal behavior, then police officers and district attorneys and whatnot are immune from being prosecuted for violating, for example, someone's civil rights. And that has come to the point where it is so wide and is so all-encompassing that it's very, very, it's far too difficult to hold bad cops or bad prosecutors accountable. The Supreme Court was considering a case out of Fresno earlier this year. It was decided by one way by the Ninth Circuit. They decided not to take it. And basically what the Ninth Circuit said, and it's, again, it's out of Fresno, a man who had a search warrant for his home, Fresno police, searched his home, and he claims that as part of when they were searching his home, police also stole like $250,000 worth of rare coins. So they had a warrant to come in, they had a warrant to take certain items, and that they also took these rare coins and didn't put them in, you know, as stuff they took. They basically stole it from themselves. Right. Now, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court refused to take this up, said, well, there's nothing in our case law that says specifically that it's wrong for cops to steal your property when issuing a search warrant. I mean, you may learn that in Sunday school. You may learn that in kindergarten. Don't take things that don't belong to you, right? But the Ninth Circuit said, well, there's nothing specifically in case law that says cops can't do that. No. Now, I'm not saying the cops did it. This was alleged. We couldn't even get to the point where this guy had to prove the cops took the stuff. We couldn't even get to that question because they were immune from prosecution for it, even if they had done it. So, and the kicker to the whole thing was, the Ninth Circuit says, yes, this is wrong, but we can't prosecute, you can't go after the cops because we hadn't, you know, there was no case law that said it was wrong before. And here's the kicker. The Ninth Circuit also declined to say it was wrong this time. So next time some police officers steal property, they can be prosecuted for it.
Yeah. Matt Hoy on this broadcast. But before the news break, I think one thing that you and I and Joe Tirica could agree on is his argument that police must be wearing the body cameras and have the body cameras on.
Oh, yeah. One of the great points he makes in that column is police departments need to be a heck of a lot more transparent than they are. We talk about body cams. We talk about dash cams. The incident that kind of prompted his column was the sheriff's deputy shooting a dog that approached him as he investigated a potential burglary in Atascadero.
Right.
The thing with that was a deputy has drawn his gun and he has fired it in the vicinity of people. I mean, there was a case out of Texas a year ago where a rookie cop was trying to defend himself from a dog, ends up shooting the dog's and killing the dog's owner because he missed. If a officer draws their gun and discharges it, there needs to be a press release. And the close sheriff did not issue a press release until, you know, the Tribune came and came asking questions 4 days later. And that's something that needs to be announced immediately.
Matt Hoy on this broadcast. RestrictedArms.com is his website. Should police be talking more and shooting less? That's the topic. Looking forward to hearing your opinions when we come back. We're live, we're local. You're listening to The Dave Congleton Show. All right, Craig, thank you. Matt Hoy joins us from RestrictedArms.com. We are talking about this debate that has been taking place across the country for, I'd say, a long time, but has become heightened in recent months. And we're talking about police, whether here in Slo County, in Atlanta, wherever. The proclivity to shoot first. Joe Tirica, editor of the Tribune, came out with a column recently where he argued that we need to change that. Police need to talk more and shoot less. And Matt and I applaud what he's trying to say, but I think we both have some reservations about some of his points, especially the idea that a police officer should never, ever, those are Joe's words, fire unless fired upon. I'm curious what you think. Would love to hear from you as we welcome your phone calls, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Should law enforcement, should our police be talking more and shooting less? On the Sobor Law KVC text line, Matt, listener, writes, body cams on police are only used to exonerate them. They conveniently malfunction when the footage does not. Is that fair?
Well, it's not true, but it is also, that's an argument for making it tamper-proof and for, you know, holding police departments responsible for making sure they work. There was a case, I want to say it was either in New York or New Jersey, where some police officers some dirty police officers went to plant some evidence on this guy they were arresting, and they talked about it, and then said, okay, I'll turn on my body cam and go over there and I will discover this evidence I have planted. And the police officers didn't realize that when you turn it on, the body cam starts the recording 30 seconds before you turned it on. So the body cam actually captured the police planting the evidence and conspiring to frame a guy. And I don't remember what happened to the cops. The guy obviously eventually got off. There's no excuse for that. I would hope the cops were fired and charged with the crime. But it's not, you know, I don't doubt that sometimes there's, you know, a malfunction and that there's bad actors in some of these cases. But, you know, if there's no body cam footage at all, then, you know, it's he said, she said.
Yeah. All right. Text number two on the Stolberg line. Why do police shoot to kill instead of shoot to deter or non-lethal shot?
Well, that's something I'm afraid a lot of Americans get from the movie. Guns are lethal weapons. Okay? If you need to pull your gun, you need to shoot to stop the threat. And this idea, oh, you just shoot the gun out of their hand or shoot them in the legs. Well, you know, there's some very big arteries in the legs, and you can die from that too. Using a gun's lethal force, and if you are going to draw and fire your gun, then this whole idea of, you know, shooting to wound or whatnot, that's Hollywood. It's not real life. As far as using, you know, less lethal methods, I mean, cops can do, you know, they use those beanbag rounds from shotguns, they use pepper spray, they use tasers. Those are less lethal. They are not non-lethal because, you know, a lot of it depends on the person. You know, when I've been on your show before to kind of endorse the idea that, you know, law-abiding members of the public should be allowed to carry firearms on themselves for self-defense, you know, people say, well, they should just carry a taser. The most recent number I heard, and frankly, I heard this again on Live PD from Tulsa SWAT guy that they have that usually comments on that show, that tasers only worked about 53 or 56% of the time as far as helping them, you know, capture someone they were trying to arrest. If someone's on drugs, I watching Live PD, I've seen them shoot somebody with a taser, and it has zero effect.
Matt Hoy.
None.
Matt Hoy on Hometown Radio, talking about Joe Tirica's column in the Tribune, calling for the police to emphasize talking more than shooting. Welcome your phone calls, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Is this a realistic approach? Is this what you want police to do? 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. On the Stolberg line, Joe Tirica has probably never worried about a loved one or close friend coming home from work.
I can't answer that one. I don't know.
I mean, is that how people frame the debate, though? That people who want cops to talk more and shoot less have never really experienced some kind of dramatic situation?
It's, you know, I have a lot of sympathy for the family members of people who are in law enforcement or the military or anything like, or prison guards or anything like that, where you know they are going to come into contact with some people who are not good people on a daily basis. A woman who was in my Bible study way back, in a Bible study I helped run way back in the 90s, her husband was shot and killed. He was a police officer. He was shot and killed in the line of duty down in Oceanside, California, by an illegal immigrant who shot him a couple times and then ran over him, and his son was 6 months old at the time. And I feel very strong. I understand from what she went through what a lot of these people, a lot of people go through. I don't think that necessarily means, you know, that we talk, that police officers are out there shooting people just for fun. That the first, you know, Tariq almost talks like their first response is to draw their gun.
All right, let's take some calls.
I don't think that's the case.
Let's take some calls. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Chris is on KVEC. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Really great topic.
Thank you.
Really thoughtful. Appreciate it. Although I rarely agree with Matthew Hoy there. One of the things I'd like to point out, though, is there are far more dangerous jobs out there. Caltrans every year holds a memorial for the people that are, you know, their workers that are killed on their line of duty, which is on the freeway. And I think the only cop that's ever fallen in the line of duty in San Luis Obispo was actually shot by another cop. You know, I think people who put their life on the line, but if you look at it, you know, a little more statistically wise, there are far more dangerous jobs. I certainly feel sorry for the guys that are in the correctional facility. Talk about coming in touch with bad guys every day. You know, again, I think a lot more training would be is necessary.
Do you think police are trigger happy, Chris?
Well, I think they tend to be, certainly when it comes in when they're fearful based on their only white experience, that you see the videos where you see a white guy swinging a gun and having a knife and really attacking the cops, and they refrain somehow from shooting him. But boy, if you go for your cell phone and you're a black guy, you're gonna catch a bunch of lead. So, you know, I don't know. It's a very interesting topic, and really appreciate you guys talking about it.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call. Matt, how would you respond to that?
Well, I don't want Chris to lose friends because he agrees with me on this one occasion. there's lots of dangerous jobs. The fisherman in Alaska is a pretty dangerous job. It's just, and I think, you know, there are bad cops out there. And I think that there's needs to be an effort made to identify the bad cops and get rid of them. You know, if you go talking about police reform, again, as an issue, I think way too often you have situations where the police unions and elected officials who like taking money for their campaigns from police unions prevent holding bad cops accountable for their for their bad deeds or misjudgments. You have the case, you know, the Parkland shooting down there in Florida, where, you know, a police sergeant showed up there and then hid behind his car for 10 minutes, didn't answer the radio or whatnot while students were getting shot. And they fired that guy, and then a year and a half later, he gets returned to his job with back pay. I'm sorry, that's a bad cop. He shouldn't have his job, and the judge or the arbitrator or whoever reinstated him needs to have their head examined.
On the Stolberg Law KVC text line, Bob is saying, in comparing the training requirements for U.S. police departments versus other nations, especially European nations, they require 3 to 4 times the training, and many don't allow rookies to carry firearms for a certain amount of time.
That's Europe. Europe's a little different. They've got little different, population issues and whatnot. I'm never opposed to more training for police officers. It comes down to being a financial issue, and I think that's probably should be a priority, and we should, I think the answer is to spend more money on that rather than this kind of defund the police joke that's going around.
All right.
That's something that we should look into.
All right. Let's take this call. We got Alan in San Luis. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Matt.
Hey,
yes.
Alan.
First, I want to comment on Chris's comment. Yeah, I know it may be that they had not happened too many in Slow City, but just look back just in the last couple of weeks with what happened in Paso. What was it, 4 deputies got injured?
Yeah, they were wounded. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So there is the risk, of course. The thing is that the statistics don't seem to say. We look at those where there was a shooting, where the gun was pulled. But how many times have there been instances where the officer did not pull a gun or did talk somebody out of something? I don't know how often that's recorded. Or I should say it may be in the files, but I don't know how often that makes the news. So it's one thing to say, well, there are too many shootings, and I won't argue with that. But what percentage of that is of all the instances that are going on, then you get a better perspective of how bad things are.
Matt?
Yeah, and, that's frankly something, a number that's difficult, if not impossible, to get. I mean, that's the dog that didn't bite the human, right?
Right.
You know, it happens all the time. And that, and again, I liked the show, and I'm sad that it's off, but that's one of the things that I thought, before we got into this, all this anti-cop paranoia and outrage, I think Live PD did a great job of showing what cops encounter and, the de-escalation techniques they use and all that sort of stuff. And I think it's frankly a tragedy that it's off the air, especially when we're debating all this, because that was something that you could, tune in every Friday and Saturday night for 3 hours and see exactly, it's like you're on a ride-along.
Yeah. Let me pause for a second. Craig, what was the question you're going to ask?
Oh, well, earlier, I think it was stated that there were 500 police shootings last year. Was that number? And how many times did police interact with people? Like you said,
don't know.
The dog that didn't bite. It must be hundreds of thousands, if not a million, and we're looking at 500. And how many of those are justified? If we were to say 500 shootings, that's a lot. But if you were to say that the bad guy pulled out 499 times first, then I think it's very well justified.
But the point was just whether or not it's justified, I don't know. It's just the fact that more people are being shot by police. That was the only point of that stat. What else, Alan?
No, that's it, and I agree. More training is always appropriate. And what else can you do? You have to be out there with interacting with people, and there are unpredictable things going on.
All right, Alan, thank you very much. We'll come back for a final segment with Matt Hoy from RestrictedArms.com. Let's sneak in a couple more calls for Matt Hoy. We've got Holly in San Luis. Hi, Holly.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave.
Hi,
and
Holly.
Matt.
Hi.
Hi.
I would hate to have any of these decisions made in ignorance. And I say that because I know in the past, personally, Like, I'll be having a conversation with someone who's in the military or who's an officer, and I'll say, well, why do you do that? You know, and it sounds like something that's messed up, and they explain it, and it makes perfect sense. So I think a lot of opinions about defunding the police is that's floating around is kind of made out of ignorance. You know, maybe there's a transformation or more training, but you know, that's kind of my comment on this. And then, you know.
All right. Holly, thank you very much for calling in. I think that kind of echoes what you have been saying, Matt. Let's find out what Garth has to say. Hi, Garth.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good, Garth. What's your take?
Well, I'm just finding out curious at this time. You know, the subject matter is important, you know, as far as, you know, police shootings and stuff. But I think we're diverting from, you know, what's relevant right now, which is police shootings of minorities compared to, you know, other ethnicities. So I wonder why we've diverged from that. To me, that is kind of like diverging from Black Lives Matter to All Lives Matter. So I'm kind of curious why the subject of the show is just kind of a general, which definitely needs reformed. But
what would you rather have us talk about in terms of this, Garth?
Well, I'd rather have you talk about the disparity, you know, that how the percentage of minorities shot by police and killed is so much higher than other ethnicities.
I think before Matt responds, we were triggered by Joe Tirica's column, who was talking mainly about the fact that police need to talk more and shoot less. But go ahead, Matt, to comment.
Well, which is true. And right. I got to say, I was a psychiatric technician at Atascadero State Hospital. Right. And, you know, obviously, psychiatric technicians don't have any sorts of weapons in there. They have to rely on talking.
Right.
So it's interesting, you know, how fast things escalate to shooting someone, you know, by the police.
Right.
We have to deal with, you know, I'm not a big guy, and a lot of the females in that facility did a lot better at de-escalating things than males because they knew that you know, they can't get physical.
All right. Well, so, let's get a response. Matt, give me a short answer.
Well, it's, you know, that's an entirely, it's a related, but it's a different subject that requires us to talk about lots of different things. And I think this was kind of a more generalistic approach that impacts everyone. And, you know, there are definitely things that, you know, you definitely have a higher incidence of minorities being shot and killed by police relative to their percentage of the population.
Right, over 100 this year so far, as opposed to 200 whites.
Yeah,
well, and that certainly. Let me intervene here. That's certainly a legitimate topic, one of which we have covered at length on this broadcast. But we're talking in a more general sense tonight, and I'm up against the clock here. So, Garth, let me thank you for your call and hear from Tony in Atascadero. Hi, Tony.
Hey, just real quick. If you go to YouTube and you click or look up Jack Webb from the old Dragnet series, he's got a probably about a 3-minute portion where he's talking to somebody about being a cop, and it's very, very relevant as of today. There's a lot of clips on that Dragnet that really are profound as far as today as well. So
All right.
I invite you to do that, Jack Webb and on being a cop.
All right, Tony, thanks for that. I don't know if you could hear that, Matt, but he was extolling the old videos of Jack Webb and Dragnet and what it means to be a police officer.
I remember seeing some old Dragnet episodes. I was bored to tears. I'm sorry. I'm just...
Okay. All right. Let me get to John and Grover. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So I have not read the Tirica article yet. I would love to read it, but one of the things that you commented on was that he said something about waiting for someone to shoot first before an officer shoots back.
Right.
You know, I mean, just that statement alone, if it was actually in the article, almost kind of makes the article silly, because I was a cop for 30 years. I retired. I pulled my gun many times, never saw anybody. But all the basic training in California, and the police officer standards in training is, you know, someone pulls a gun on you and points it at you, you shoot. You don't wait because, you know, you're not hired to take one for the gipper. You know, you're hired you know, to protect life and property, including your own. And it's just silly to hear that type of thing. But, you know, I will look at it anyhow.
Okay. That's what he said. John, thanks for the call. Nice job, Matt Hoy. I can give you about a minute for a final thought.
Quick final thought. You know, I agree with the police, you know, the police officer, a retired police officer who just called in. That's, and that's one of the criticisms I had of Tarika is, you know, he published this and he didn't run it by anyone to say, you know, Joe, this one statement, you're shooting your credibility in the foot by including it. You ought to change it. And, you know, I think that's kind of one of the problems that a lot of reporters have with a lot of subjects is that they don't know enough about it to know what they don't know. Having said that, I'm all for more training. I'm all for more transparency. I think we can do better. And, you know, hopefully that's something positive that comes out of these past few weeks.
The website for Matt Hoy is restrictedarms.com. Matt, thanks for joining us on Hometown Radio.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll come back with more. I'm Dave Congleton. Good to be with you. Stick around. Thanks again to Matt Hoy, and thanks to everybody who called in and to text and who texted in, is what I'm trying to say. A last text message on the Stolberg line. How many psych techs are on work comp each year in Atascadero? Most of the ones I know have been beat up. Well, there you go. That wraps up the 5 o'clock hour. Off we go. We've got ABC Radio News. Craig shares with us the latest in Time Saver traffic and weather together. And Mr. Lance Parker is back with us. Let's talk about a cashless society. Should we give up hardcore money and just go plastic? Is that how we fight coronavirus? Here we go. Stick around.